You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 231. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week, we once again had zero events locally. Get your regional weekend information from the Road to Worlds regional rundown, which will be Wednesday night. But what we have is an interview with a local player, and I can't unmute him.
What did you do?
All right. Okay. Looks like he unmuted himself. There we go. So, about was it two summers ago? Right.
Yes.
All right. We had a new player show up. We have a local kind of a local summer event. Yeah, that's tough. Last 2 years have we done it at Johnny's place? Is that right?
We started at Johnny's, and then I think we had to move away from Johnny's last year because they had other things going on, but we're going to try and have it be the second, not necessarily in a row, annual Holiva House tournament event.
Yeah, so after it was posted, I got an email that some guy wanted to join us, and we were all kind of looking at each other like, oh. You know, it would have been better if his first tournament was not at somebody's house, because that's kind of awkward. But
it's like that episode of Friends where all six of them are sitting around the apartment and somebody knocks on the door and they look around and like who could it be? We're all here.
It's some random dude, probably a pervert.
He brought it was JD here who's joining us. JD Ashley, and he brought a couple of decks that he made from that. You made it from like a box of Whiteboard Premier, right?
Yes, I ordered on Amazon.
Yeah.
No idea what I was doing.
And did you play Rogue first?
Yeah, yes. His Mirror Nor deck. And I just sat there and watched him do his thing. I knew what the hell was going on.
A great way to start learning when he. Yeah. Playing against a Mirror Quadrant Nor deck.
A year later, we went back and had the same tournament. And I actually, you're right. It was over at Arby's. I think we did the next year. We had a tin draft, right? And JD, in the year that it took from joining our group to then, you were the winner of that tournament, right?
Yes, I got extremely lucky and. Yeah, it's been my one tournament win so far.
it's an awesome story.
I cherish that moment.
Yeah, you've been playing both first edition and second edition. What do you say to someone who's you know wants to get into the Star Trek card game and finds a site about you know which game would be better to jump into? Do you recommend someone doing both?
If they're a lunatic, yeah. I think obviously 2E, it's just easier to jump in on. It's more nuanced to master because that still kicks my butt a lot more than 1E does. The 1E, it's like this art form that I've just been slowly progressing on. I'm still terrible at it, but I feel more in control now. It just takes forever, but I enjoy it personally more. Just because it's more long-term planning. So to a new player, yeah, it's easier to get them on the 2E and say, hey, check it out, it's a track game, have fun, and then, you know, use it as a gateway drug, along with Tribbles, ease them onto 1E. So, or just do like me and jump in the deep end, do a little bit of all of it, and, you know, work your way through it eventually.
That's right. We should say you've won plenty of Tribbles events, right?
Yeah. Now that one, boom.
Jump right in. Now, so you came in at the a post Deciphering era, when the continued community era. Had you played any card games before? Was this your first card game? And was it weird to have all of these free printable cards accessible?
Yeah, I never really played a collectible card game before. I bought and attempted a couple, but I never had like a committed play group to play anything. Like the old Star Wars I tried back when I was going through initial Navy school, and played like half of an experimental game once. And that's pretty much it. I didn't do anything until I started with you guys.
So this was basically purely a Trek-oriented a leap, not necessarily a card game leap.
Yes, I came into it strictly from the game aspect. I mean, I grew up watching Next Generation and a little bit of original series and the movies, obviously. And then I just at some point made a commitment, like, I'm going to watch everything. And over the course of watching the stuff, I was like, trying to do it in chronological order. I was somewhere through Deep Space Nine, still overcoming my sharp racism against Ferengi. And I found, just by chance, I was looking up stuff on Amazon and found some starter decks. They were cheap, sure, whatever, just a couple of whiteboarder things. And I bought it, and I had no idea what the hell it was, and the rules made no sense. So that was when I started Googling around trying to find places nearby if there was just maybe somebody that happened to know how to play it. And that was when I struck on you guys, and I, you know, found this is like the mecca of this game. So that was kind of funny the way that worked out. And it just kind of went from there. My talking to Dan and registering on the continuum committee.
Sure. So as I recall, when you came, you had the Whiteboarder Premier decks, and you were starting for the first tournament, and that was it was actually really good timing for you, since TNG had just recently come out. So we were actually able to, I remember Johnny kind of pulling out some extras and being like, okay, this is the continuing mission. This is really going to help you boost up this deck, and, you know, here's an attention all hands. So we're going to go ahead and tweak your deck a little, throw this in, and get an engine going. And so do you feel like from a 1E, we kind of talked about the differences between complexity and 1E and 2E. Was that something that really helped you jumpstart kind of your 1E knowledge?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was because it was so simple, so easy to get my hands on those cards, and the game mechanics were so simple to just get a slew of people out and, you know, and go with that. So even without any of the Nor dynamics or any of the other stuff, I was able to get rolling. And a lot of the early games I was able to stay in pretty easy with just a basic, you know, TNG fed crew deck, the main staff, and just go around and do stuff. And I stayed relatively competitive just doing that. So that's a big win considering I was effing clueless at the beginning.
There was a recent decision to make all cards printable, and you probably one of the poster boys, I guess, for why that decision was made. A new player with no access to the original cards. Obviously, that's, would you say that's helped you out, or were you playing with proxies anyway? I honestly don't remember.
Yeah, I was definitely playing with proxies anyway, because that was one of the best things about the group here in San Diego. Y'all have just been so cool about, like, hey, whatever, we're here to have fun, print what you need, you know, it's not going to be a problem. I'm sure if I did, like, some sort of weird off-rule deck or some, you know, trying to do some sort of broken jank, it wouldn't have done well, but y'all would have said something. But as far as just playing to play, have fun. Nobody's ever had any problems. And I didn't do any major proxy abuse anyway. It would just be like one or two of the rares from Necessary Evil or something like that. Like, I'm not going to get it. Now, unfortunately, like, I had just I've been buying cards like a maniac over the past couple of years, and I got, like, almost everything I need right when they made the rule to make proxies legal. It's like, but at least now I can do some, was it Eurolash and some of the all good things that I'll never see otherwise? So
before there were printable cards, and I know obviously we're pr- proxy friendly in San Diego. But did you have any strategy or particular, I guess, desire for certain cards when you were trying to find sites? Or, you know, did you decide, well, I want to play this, so I'm going to try to get those sets, or just try to get whatever you can get on?
For actually, like, deck building, or are you talking about for purchasing?
Just trying to collect the actual cards, because I know you were hunting for a while. For...
My general buying strategy, I would try and just find one or two of the hard-to-find boxes of things as cheap as I could, and then pack in, you know, a box of Rules of Acquisition or a box of Mirror around there. And also just for card backing fodder for making virtuals. So I've just been slowly creeping through there, keeping an eye on eBay and stuff like that. So hopefully maybe a side effect of the proxy rule is the prices will come down a little bit for some of the hard cards.
Well, you are going to be joining us at Gen Con this year, right?
Yes, absolutely. Getting all my appropriate cosplay outfits ready.
Were you around when we had Continentals in San Diego, or was that just before you joined us?
I think that was before.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe.
So this will be a big event, right?
Yes.
Are you prepared for the sheer number of tournaments, or are you just going to play in the big events and then go experience Gen Con? What's your strategy for the weekend?
I was actually talking about that with Rogue on a trip up when I saw your itinerary that included a 12-hour block of 1E, and I don't know if I'm ready for all that. I'll hang in there, but I want to play a little bit and see what Gen Con has to offer. I've never been to a convention before, so this will be fun. I plan to exploit it and try not to get kicked out, really, is my goal. Or arrested.
Well, you'll definitely have the opportunity to find some more real cards, even though everything's printable now, too, at Gen Con. They have a lot of collector tables and vendor tables that will have bargain. We like to call it the box table. We'll have, like, a $5 and $10 boxes, booster boxes out there, which... you can get if you're trying to find sets, or if you just need backers for cards, like we do for virtual cards. So that'll be interesting.
Well, that's why they invented the Trouble with Triple Starters, right?
Apparently. That is the cost matrices have determined that as the most cost-effective card backer acquisition.
JD, where are you from originally?
I'm from Dallas, Texas.
And you're here, you're stationed out here, right?
Yes.
And that's for the foreseeable future?
Yes. I just got sea duty orders here, so I've been here for a few years on shore. Now I'm going to be here on sea duty for at least the next 3 years. I just got the hard copy orders this morning.
So. Nice. Congratulations.
It's official.
This is, you're coming up on 2 years,
mm-hmm.
Going from absolutely zero CCG experience
to slightly greater than zero.
I would say you've got a tournament, a couple tournaments. You've got triples wins for sure, and you've got the 1E win, and you've definitely becoming competitive at 2E. How do you feel like? I'm curious, and I'm not just like fishing, but I really am curious for like honest response. As far as the community and the website and everything, as a new player coming into a game that's been dead for a number of years since before you'd even heard of it, what was your overall experience, you know, learning the game and getting into the game? Do you feel comfortable knowing the game? And, like, you know, where do you feel like you're at?
As far as, like, an evolutionary process from, you know, weird guy on the street to Ken Tufts type of spectrum, the gameplay, I still feel like I'm at the... I've learned that I don't know that much. if that makes sense. Like, I've learned enough to realize there's still so much out there, the nuance of it. You know, the greater the island of knowledge, the longer the shoreline of mystery. Because the more I realize, like, I really, you know, there's so much depth to especially 1E, but even 2E, with just the strategies, the on-the-spot decision-making, that's just an ongoing evolution. I think, you know, it's one that I'm never going to fully master, but that's okay. Because the biggest things that keep me coming back week to week is obviously the playgroup. You know, you guys are the best group of guys to hang around with, and the love of Trek. It's just everyone's been so welcoming, and then the content is so enjoyable that, you know, I mean, we could be playing Star Trek Pogs or some, you know, something terrible like that, and it would still be enjoyable. I mean, we just took a big road trip, and it was more about the group of people and, you know, the content than it was the actual gameplay itself, obviously. So, you know, multiply that to the nth degree for the Star Trek aspect, and that's what keeps me coming back every week, every other week.
Cool. You mentioned Kentucky as a scale. I don't think that's more like the road that goes forever to the horizon rather than the, okay, now I'm ready to play.
The infinity point.
Yeah, exactly. No, there's like five players who can, you know, be on that scale. But as far as, especially on a 1E scale, which he is more known for, even in our tournaments where we have a regular, you know, group of 1E players, we're always like, at least once a game, somebody is like, what is this? How does this work? We need to look this up and get a ruling because that's just 1E.
Yeah, that's okay. What else? Do you have any?
I had a follow-up question to that, but I forgot what it was while you were talking about it.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. I'm glad that you are. That's what I was going to say. You mentioned the community, and that's something that we've talked about a number of times on the show, about how, as cards playing communities go, the Trek CC is probably one of the most welcoming and positive groups to be around. So you're definitely a beneficiary there, and obviously now a beneficial helper to that community. So it's nice to have you join that. And it'd be cool to see you go to your first Gen Con and get to interact with people. Is there anything you're looking forward to? You mentioned the other day when we were playing, you know, certain aspects of the game that you haven't got to explore because there are so many different things that you can do in the game. Is there something you've seen somebody do or you've read about that you haven't quite taken the plunge on yet that you're looking forward to?
Well, Norse is my next big experiment. I was trying to do it with Ferengi on my last deck. See, I've overcome my racism. but the mechanics of the commandeering and stuff, I got to do a little bit more research to make sure I don't screw it up. My worst fear is bringing a deck that just doesn't function to a tournament, and then, you know, I got to, like, make a proxy out of a napkin to make things work. And that's never, you know, you lose cool points for that.
You know, we're a lot more forgiving about 1E in that respect.
I made the joke
before, but I have showed up to a tournament with a deck with no ships. So, you know, it happens.
And not on purpose.
Yes.
It was not a shtick.
So, yeah, there's still so many different factions I haven't played yet that I want to. Haven't done a Kazon, haven't done KCA or really any sort of mirror stuff. So, you know, I want to play around with that. I still don't get how you can get that many card plays off of something where you can swap four people in a transporter, but I'll figure that stuff out, I guess. For now, I mean, I enjoy the current block we're in, and, you know, I just want to keep playing with the options there. Looking forward to the next release.
Do you have a favorite affiliation in one or both games?
No, not really. Just because I don't want to be one of those that always brings a deck. I don't want to be the Klingon guy from Santa Barbara or the, you know, whatever from wherever. I don't want to be stereotyped, man.
Yeah, you've really followed in on the pattern that we have here of playing a different deck every week, and for that, that's a huge thumbs up from us.
Oh, thanks. Well, I try to. Out of sheer laziness, I'll tend to play the same decks over and over again. Or because I'm, like, frustrated because I'm on the verge of making it great, and I never can't quite get it perfected. It's like a statue. You just keep chipping away until you just end up with a pile of rubble, and then it's like, all right, well, I guess it's time to move on to a different affiliation.
Very good.
Nice. We're definitely glad to have you join us, and it's an interesting perspective to get. As soon as a game starts being produced, the playership really kind of drops off, and I think it's a testament both to how powerful the material is, from a Star Trek perspective, that kind of still draws people in, and also a testament to this community that they're able to keep a quality game going for so long after the game has died to keep people here. Because it's certainly, as we have experienced recently, it's certainly one thing to get interested in a game based on its subject matter, and it's quite another to continue to play a game after certain mistakes are made on the parts of the OP or organization or design or whatnot. So I guess I was just interested to hear your perspective on joining in an era where the game has been out for 20 years and there are so many cards and coming in fresh with a 2,000 cards to 2,000 card stock to choose from and joining us. So I definitely appreciate you coming on the show and kind of sharing your perspective with us, JD.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess if anything, to more directly answer your question, I don't think I hit it very well before, it's the fact that I honestly didn't even really notice it because the support is so good at the continuing committee that I don't have anything to compare it to up until Interplay's release lately, as far as how companies should work, but there's never been any issue, and it's so easy to find to do things within the organization on the website that, it's just been user-friendly. There's occasional hiccups, but it's been super easy to keep up with what's going on. It's a testament to how functional the organization is and how alive it is, considering the source material died out a few years ago.
You guys are kind of prancing around the issue here. Did you have a bad pony experience?
Yeah. It was mostly just as a comparison, and JD knows what I'm talking about. We went to the pre-release for the new expansion, the first expansion of the My Little Pony card game this past weekend, and it was a nightmare. And it was an excellent example of everything that can go wrong and does go wrong from a game mismanagement. And I'm honestly surprised that none of this stuff has happened with the continuing committee. But we're just so, everybody is just so on the ball and keeping things together and making good decisions that, For a volunteer organization, it's much more professionally run than a lot of the games that are in print right now.
I had a great experience. Amelia got a free comic book out of it, and that was a delicious burger. So
the burger was fantastic. Let's put it this way. We drove up there, we stayed for 2 hours, didn't play, and came home.
Wow. Did they not have product, or was there too many people?
The pre-release was on Saturday. Friday at like 4 o'clock, the company Interplay posts on their Facebook page, we just found out that half of the decks are wrong. So To give you a Star Trek analog, imagine a two-starter expansion. Affiliations for starters for two affiliations. You're going to have a sealed deck with the new set, and half of them don't have the correct outpost. They have the other outpost.
It happens. Figure it out.
So you can't even play with it. So it's like, all right, it's not their fault. It's the printer's fault. You know, there's only so much you can do. But they were very flippant about it. They were kind of like, oh, by the way, this happened. You're going to have to print it in a post to bring with you. Have a great time. Everybody be sure to take pictures. Like, no apology, no, you know, ownership of the error, or, you know, it was just very kind of matter of fact and kind of flippant about it. So we're like, all right, whatever. We're going to get to go. We're going to play. And they didn't have a solution in hand. They didn't say, oh, by the way, we know you're paying extra money to get this tournament and get the product early, so we're going to make sure that in the future there's a way to swap those so you can get the right cards. Nothing like that. Just, be sure to take pictures and send them to us so we can have publicity. So that kind of rubbed us the wrong way. Then we got to the tournament. We sat around for... we got there early, but then we sat, you know, it was 1:15 for a noon tournament before they announced, okay, glad you're all here. We got everybody registered, signed up. By the way, they only sent us half the product. So that's why these people in the corner have been cutting up proxies for you. And we only got half the prizes, so we're donating stuff from the store. So who wants to volunteer to take proxies? And on top of all of that, the half of the product they actually got in was the half that was messed up. So there were absolutely no product that was correct in the store.
So you guys just had to back it up?
So we got the promo card.
I hear your complaints. I work at a hospital, so I know how you feel.
And then they did the same thing. You know, they were doing the best they could with a situation that was messed up, but there was no... You know, we were trying to say, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you post it on the Facebook page so we could say, okay, we won't come, so that you... Because it was a tiny store. There was no way they should have said they could host 48 people. There was 30 spots best. You know, we could have not gone up. We could have picked up our product later when it was fixed. You know, and we wouldn't have had to sit around for an hour and a half waiting to hear that we were there to get proxies. It was just a, you know, and I can understand we got flustered. We did this, you know, to make up for it. It's the best we can do. You're right. We should have done something else, but this is what we did. But there was none of that. It was all, well, this is what we did. We were, you know, it was midnight when we found out last night. Guys, just somebody take ownership of something. All I want to hear is that somebody is sorry about the situation, and there was nothing.
Oh, and Dan, you'll enjoy this as a father. I had some little weird dude kept wanting to come up and play Connect Four with my daughter, my four-year-old. So, like, I was playing with her, and he's like, I got next game. Like, all right, whatever, man. And then he came back like, no, seriously, I got next game. Like, no, seriously, take a hike.
So, you'll be making many trips back to that store, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So given that this is a professional company putting out a card game, their first card game, but they should have had a little research done to do this. And you look at something like that, and you look at something that, you know, Decipher, the continuing committee is putting on through a volunteer organization. That's, you know, come on, guys. Get your act together.
Really, the point of the story is Cards Against Humanity fixes everything.
That is correct.
Very good. All right.
And we added a car full of irate bronies.
Yeah, car full of agitated bronies to the personal.
Yeah, to the Cards Against Humanity list. So I guess I call that a silver lining.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, JD.
Anytime.
If anyone has any further questions for JD, you can send them through me at, how about, let's see, what we usually do. Section 31 at danhammond.com?
Sounds yes.
Good. All right. Very good. Well, thanks for joining us, JD. We're going to disconnect you so the echo goes away, and then we'll talk about maybe I'll just mute you. And then someone has done that already. Very good. We have a spoiler from the next one he set to talk briefly about. I would be remiss if I did not point out that the you know what? I'm going to be remiss. I'm just not going to repeat that. All right. We were sent another personnel to look at. Did you get this?
I do.
All right. If I can remember correctly, and I'm looking at my foil list on the wall here, was Shankar from
Reflections?
Yeah, there he is. But he is not. Well, he's way up at the top of the page. I can't see it. He is not backwards compatible. So this is a faux conversion.
So this is Shankar, as Dan mentioned. However, unlike the faux conversion, the 2E version, this is not a Federation personnel. He's non-aligned, and he has the Deep Space Nine property logo, Maki icon, and officer classification.
You know what? I don't see here. I don't see a command star or a staff star. I wonder if that's on purpose or a failure of our intelligence.
Interesting. Well, you know, a lot of the Maquis were just random folks who were fighting for their land, so I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't have some of them didn't have icons, but it's also a little abnormal to have an officer that doesn't have any kind of staffing icon.
Yeah. The lore is Maqui soldier always prepared to defend against Cardassian attacks. Assigned by Amoros to stand guard over Dukat after the Gull's abduction.
His skill list includes archaeology, biology, geology, treachery, and a special download icon of any phaser or any disruptor.
Nice. That that skill list is straight off of the 2E card, so that's where that came from.
I was going to say, that sounds... like a little 2E syndrome there, in alphabetical order. I like it.
Yes. Easy to find the skills, right? And the attributes are 4, 7, 7. Huh. Integrity 4, cunning 7, strength 7. How does that compare to his old one? 4, 6, 6. So a bump in cunning and strength.
More 1E relative.
Yep. The tentative card number is 47V. I think that might be the first card number we've had.
I think you're right.
All right. Again, this is all tentative until the card is posted online, because it wouldn't be a 1E preview without it being, you know, horribly changed or cut before being actual put in the set. So there you go.
All right, sounds good. Thank you to our agents for providing that information. It's always interesting to see cards solidify into more what looks like a more final form as we get closer to a release.
Yeah, and start putting together a card list for Boomer.
Having that card number definitely makes it feel like we're getting close.
Excellent. Well, is that it? I think there was talk of a tournament being scheduled, a late tournament being scheduled for this weekend, but I've only seen two yays go across the board, so I don't know if that's going to happen. It may be maybe a pretty quiet couple of weeks for us here in San Diego. And you're not even going to be around, right? You're traveling?
I'm not. I have a ridiculous schedule this month, and I'm traveling for work, and I'm traveling for pleasure, and I'm traveling. In fact, I'm out every weekend until our 1E regional on June 7th, so...
The weekend before Origins, right?
Yes, it is.
All right.
So, going to have to make sure my deck is done ahead of time.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to jump in at the last minute with a 1E deck coming back from some kind of trip, trying to put something together.
But in the meantime, I hope you guys are able to put something together if there's enough people who want to play. Probably some 2E, maybe a little four-person round-robin. If that does happen, we'll hopefully try and get in touch with somebody who was there, since I don't think either of us will be.
Yeah, I'll certainly look at the results, so we'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, in the meantime, we're out of intelligence for this week, so we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Give a shout-out to Warp 11 for their kick-ass theme song, and our most recent player, who was not, I don't want to say new anymore, because he's not new. He's a fixture here in San Diego. Thanks, JD, for stopping by. It was great to have you and hear your new player perspective. I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
That will draw it in. You cannot hide and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot.